The message today is found the Messiah. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where abidest thou?" He said unto them, "Come, and ye shall see." They came therefore, and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the light that shined from heaven into our hearts. Thou didst say, "In the beginning, let there be light," and there was light. And to every heart that is willing, thou canst speak again and shine into our darkened hearts and illumine them. We thank you for this. We're here this morning that light may shine upon our hearts. We trust that upon those hearts that are still dark, the light shall reach into the depths of that darkness and dispel it, and they shall become children of light. And for us who already know him as Savior, that this light shall shine more brightly within us, and we shall learn more of him who is indeed the light of the world. So help us this morning. Thou knowest our hearts. Even though we are thine, thou hast told us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Therefore, we confess our sins. Fulfill thy promise, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness, and empower lips and prepare hearts to receive the truth of thy word, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Most of the time, we speak this way: I was lost, and Jesus found me. There were 99 that safely lay, but then there was that lost sheep. And usually, we think of Jesus finding the lost. But the Bible teaches not only that Jesus finds the lost, but also that the lost find Jesus. You say, that's impossible. No. Paul says the same thing. In Galatians, he says, "Now that you have come to know God, or rather be known of God." So Paul thought the same way. He thought of two things. He thought about knowing God, and then he thought about being known by God. And it speaks about, in John 17, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send." But it also says, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." So it's two sides. And I promise you this. If you say, it is unnecessary for us to seek the Lord, it is unnecessary for us to try to find the Lord, it is God always seeking and finding us. I promise you this. Never seek the Lord. Never try to find the Lord, and he will never find you. You say, how is that? Because initially, essentially, it must be this, that God first seeks, that God first draws. But when God draws, then you yield. When God commands, you obey, because God commandeth men everywhere to repent. And when he commands, that is first, then you repent, and then that results in salvation. You are lost, and you are seeking God. The very fact that you are seeking God means that God is seeking you. And if you seek Him with all your heart, if with all your heart you truly seek Him, you shall surely find Him. So, in the portions that we've read today, we are talking about men seeking the Lord. I only read you one scripture. There were five I wanted to bring to your attention, and in all of them, the very word found is contained, and the other one is like it, and here are the passages. I will rapidly bring them to your mind. In John chapter 1, they find our Savior, a mature man, 30 years of age. They find Him in a house, in an abode. But the first scripture where He is found is in Luke, and the shepherds go and they find Him lying in a manger. And so the first ones who ever found the Lord were shepherds, and they found Him when He was one day old. They said, "There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And they went and they found the babe lying in the manger. So He was first found by shepherds when He was one day old, lying in a manger. The second place that He was found, it tells us how old He was. He was 12 years old, and His parents had been up to the feast of the Passover, and all of the days had been fulfilled, and they were going home, and they forgot the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus tarried behind. And it says, on the third day, they found Him in... they found Him in the temple. So think, the first day He was found was when He was one day old. The second time He was found is when He was 12 years old. He's found in the temple. Now, the scripture I read to you this morning was the third time that He was found. That is when the Savior was about 30 years of age. And what is so remarkable is that He's found in His own dwelling place. Remember this. We give that scripture. The birds have their nests. The foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. That wasn't always true. There was a time when the Lord Jesus had a place where He abode. And that is where Andrew, and we take it that the other disciple was John, the beloved disciple, that is where those two found the Lord. He said, "You come home with Me." And they came home with Him, and they found Him in His own home. Now think a moment. You say, that's a remarkable thing. Jesus could be found in a manger? Yes. He could be found in the temple? That's where we would expect to find Him. Yes. He could be found in His own home? Who would ever think of that? But He was. And the other scripture is in Mark chapter 1. It says, "Now, in those days, a great while before day, He went out and departed and went into the desert and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him and found Him." So here are men seeking the Lord again. And they find Him in the desert place, and He's praying. That's all I'm going to tell you about now. But think, not once is our Savior found in the same place. He's found in the day of His beginning as Jesus. Remember, as the Ancient of Days, as the Eternal Word, our Savior had no beginning. But the coins that you have are dated according to the beginning of the existence of Jesus. Understand, He is God manifest in the flesh. And Jesus, and it says in Hebrews 5, who in the days of His flesh, He had a beginning. And you look at your coin and you say, That is the day of my Savior's birth. And this is how long it's been since Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Yes. And God saw to it that he was found the first day that he came into existence as a man, Christ Jesus. And then we hear nothing else about him save in a vague way. He's with his parents. They go down into Egypt. Then they come back and they go to Nazareth. And then when he's 12 years old, he's found in the temple. And then we know nothing about him for 18 more years. And then he is found in his own house. And then after he starts teaching his disciples, he becomes an itinerant preacher. Then they go and they look for him and they find him in the desert. So this is why men have to seek the Lord. In all of these instances, the one that is most important to you if you know not Christ as Savior is John chapter 1. Because here are men seeking the Lord, but if they find him in Luke, then they find the historical Jesus. Who are those fools and blind that say there was never such a man as Jesus? Why, it is incomprehensible. There's never been a man like him before, and you read his life so briefly stated in the Gospels, and it seems as if this is impossible. And it would be if he were any ordinary man. But the Lord Jesus is not an ordinary man. There have been but two men. There is the first man, and there is the second man. There is the first Adam, and there is the last Adam. There have never been but two, and both of them have been unique. Both of them have been without sin in their beginning. One who was without sin in his innocency sinned, and he fell, and the whole human race fell with him. The other one was born without sin, and he never sinned, and he redeemed a fallen race ruined by sin, by becoming sin for them. And so they saw him when he was one day old, but they could not comprehend that this was the Savior. How can you look into the face of a child one day old and see that this is the Savior? There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, who is the Lord. And yet in that babe, understand it, it is not that he ever became these things. He was these things. He was God manifest in the flesh, and that day he was the Savior. He was as yet to save mankind. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see that emphasis? Christ is seeking, but also men have to seek. But here he is, the beginning. And God is going to let him mature 30 years, and then he will have a ministry of some 3 years. And then, when his ministry is completed, he will go to the cross and bear our sins in his own body upon the tree. And so the first time he is found historically. Here is one who had his very beginning. And if those shepherds received that one and the message they gave with the best understanding they had, that day he became their Savior. Because they rejoiced and they said, let us go and tell the wonderful things that we have seen. And they did just that. So here is the historical Messiah. And by the way, the word Christ is Christos, which means the anointed one. Mashiach, Messiah, that's the Hebrew word. It simply means this, that here is a man. And God designates that man in your eyes and mine by having oil poured upon his head. And he is anointed. That is the designated one. That is the anointed one. So, the anointed one, unique, distinct from all others, the Messiah, is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it says in Daniel chapter 9. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem shall be 69 weeks unto Messiah, the Prince. And so these 69 weeks have transpired, and now Andrew says to Simon Peter, we have found the Messiah. Who would ever thought such a thing? that this prophecy made those 69 weeks before had passed, and now Andrew says, we have found the Messiah. There is nothing greater than you can find. There are always people making discoveries. Thank God for every medicine that has been discovered. Thank God for all scientific discoveries that have made life more enjoyable, that food can be produced more abundantly, that men do not have to suffer. But I tell you this, the greatest discovery that man has ever made is that a babe lying in a manger was the Messiah. And in all of these scriptures, the remarkable thing is this, that they would never think of finding the Messiah where they did. Let me ask you, if an angel came from heaven and told you, a Savior is born this day, the Messiah, the Lord, now, go and find him, where is the last place you would look for him? You would say, where they found him. Of course. The Lord Jesus himself said, they that are in soft clothing, they that are gorgeously apparelled, are in king's houses. So if I had had an announcement made to me that the Lord was born, a Savior was born, the Messiah was born, I would go to the highest dignity in Bethlehem and knock at his door and say, I want to see the Messiah. And he would say, he's not here. And you go to the lowest dwelling in Bethlehem and say, I want to see the Messiah. And they would say, he's not here. And you would say, then I was mistaken. I was told by an angel that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But I can't find him anywhere. For that reason, the angel told them where he was to be found. They said, you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so do you see that contradiction? Here is the Lord from heaven, the Lord of glory. Here is the Savior. Here is the Messiah. And the angel has to say this, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Who could have conceived such a thing? But it was not by accident. You think that when you read the story, they laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. All of this has been predetermined. Now, you didn't know where you were going to be born. I didn't know where I was going to be born, but Jesus did. It speaks in the Bible, and I shall abbreviate this, it speaks in the Bible about the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And some of the things that were determined before Christ was ever born was this. He was to be made a little lower than the angels. He was to be made of no reputation. And it was decided in the councils of eternity that this one would be born not in kings' palaces. He would not be born even in a modest dwelling, but he would be born in a manger. And so when Christ is found for the first time, he is found experiencing what it is to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. God had never had that experience before. I did not say made sinful flesh, but as it says in Romans, he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he's already beginning to experience all of the inconveniences of what it is to be a man. He's soon going to find out what it is to be hungry, to be weary, to be bleeding, to be pained. He's going to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so he is discovered this day, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He is experiencing what it is to be a creature like the other creatures that he had made. All things were made by him. And now the Lord Jesus, with the Father, has decreed to be made. It says, a body hast thou prepared me. And so he who hath prepared all things visible and invisible, now has it that the Father is going to prepare a body for him. And he's found, when he's one day old, experiencing what it is to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, what it is to be made a little lower than the angels, what it is, who was infinitely rich, to be made poor, what it is, who was so glorious that no man could look upon him and live, to have the Father to protect his glory and not let it be seen save on this occasion or on that occasion. And this is how he's found in the first instance. I say, only Christ decided where he was to be born. I remember this as a young boy in Raleigh, North Carolina. They were having a parade. Perhaps I was 6 or 8 years old, just a young boy, but they were having this parade with all of these slides, and they were giving away prizes, and there were two hospitals in the town in which I was born. There was the big one, which was called Rex Hospital, and there was the little one where I was born called Mary Elizabeth Hospital. And this slide that represented Rex Hospital was this gorgeous slide, and all important people were around this slide, and the one that was representing Mary Elizabeth Hospital, where I was born, was a little one, and it wasn't so impressive. And as I recall it, what I did was to leave this slide and go over and pretend that I was born in Rex Hospital. Do you see? Now, had I had choice of where I was born, I would have said, not even this hospital. I must be born in the best hospital. And the Lord Jesus looked at the universe that he had made, at the earth that he had made, and he said, not this palace, not this rich man's house, not this humble abode in the manger. Now, are you satisfied with your lot in life? Or, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child, and I said, I want to be behind the people that were born in this hospital. Are you that way and say, oh, I wish that my existence had been different. I wish I had been born in richer circumstances. You see that God has thought all of this through. And if anyone should have complained, it should have been the Lord Jesus. But the Father and the Son decided, you're going to be born in a manger, yes. You're going to be a laboring man. You're going to work as a carpenter, yes. You're going to stay in a city of no reputation, Nazareth, until you're 30 years of age. Yes, Father, that's fine with me. And you are dissatisfied with your lot in life? How many of you have been born in a place more lowly and unsanitary than a manger? You say, no. How many of you with minds, even to be mentioned at the same time that the mind of Christ, have spent 30 years in an obscure city working as a carpenter? You say, no. Then never let me hear you complain again. The Messiah has been found, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and it was not that he was compelled to be that way. It was not as the slaves in Egypt. It was not as Moses. But the Lord Jesus voluntarily made himself of no reputation. And that's the way that he's first found, historically, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, experiencing what it is to be made a little lower than the angels. And throughout his life, he never complained. You stop complaining. Now, the second place that he was found was in the temple. When he was 12 years old, he had parents that took him, as their custom was, to the Passover. There were 3 feasts every year that all the males had to attend. And some devout Jews would take not only their wives, but they would take some of their children as well. And they would go up in caravans. So the Lord Jesus had been so trustworthy in the past. Remember this, they're not irresponsible parents. But here is a boy, 12 years old. And you read briefly in chapter 2 about his advancement, his growth. He was a precocious child, and evidently he had been able to take care of himself. So trustworthy was he that the feast had finished, they're all packed up to return home, and they expect the Lord Jesus to take care of himself, to be ready, to go with them. He's not with us. He's with some of our relatives or 10 people. They expected him to be there, but they had traveled one day, and they looked for him, and they couldn't find him. They went back the second day. They couldn't find him. But the third day, they looked, and they find him sitting in the temple in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Please notice, he is a child. He's not standing discoursing to them. He is learning. He is sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And when they will converse with him, there is an exchange of words. But the Lord Jesus is not teaching. But if they asked him a question and he gave an answer, in that sense he would be. But the Lord Jesus is not going to publicly teach until he's about 30 years of age. And all of them marvel at this one. But his parents say this, for the first time in their lives it is recorded that they are sorrowful. They are disappointed with the way their son has treated them. And he said this. He said, you didn't know where to find me. He said, what? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Those are words similar to words that he's going to speak when he becomes a mature man, 30 years of age. He turns to those that he teaches and he says, do you not yet understand? And so he speaks to his parents, and the words, wish ye not, it means, do you not know? Do you not understand that I must be about my father's business? How is it? You were the one, Mary, that was told that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and that holy thing which should be begotten in you. You were told by the angels the great things. Not only so, you heard Simeon, you heard Anna, you heard all of these things spoken about me, and you do not know that I must be about my Father's business. It was incredible to the Lord Jesus that his parents did not have that much understanding. And for that reason, instead of saying, why, we know where he is, he loves the Word of God. There's nothing he would like better than to constantly be in the midst of those who are studying, speaking about the Holy Scriptures. But they sought and sought and sought, and finally they found him. And the thing that caused him to marvel was this, that you didn't know where to find me. Didn't you know I was to be in the things of my father, about my father's business, in my father's house? How old do you think I have to wait to be before I go about my father's business? He publicly and manifestly went about his father's business when he was 30 years of age, but he was about his father's business from the day that he was born. He was born a savior. He potentially was a savior. And then he fulfilled all that God had in that little bosom, in that little heart that was beating in that manger. It was all realized. And at the age of 12, he was fully developed as a boy at the age of 12 should be. And his parents find him, and they are sorrowful because they thought they had lost him. And he's sorrowful. He does not understand. This is what you will discover. That if God has given you an intelligence superior to some, the things that you do and say that cause others to marvel, why, they're so commonplace to you. They're so understandable. And for that reason, when they marvel at the answers you give, you say, how is it that you don't understand? It's so elementary. That is the way it was with the Savior. How is it? And so here is one who is superior to his mother who bore him and his foster father, Joseph. And later on in life, he told of another to whom he was superior. He asked this question. He said, David, tell us, the Messiah, whose son is he? And they said, why, that answer is elementary. He's the son of David. The Lord Jesus said, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calleth him Lord. How then is he David's son? And they said, we've never thought of that. They couldn't answer that question. So here are things that occur all through his life and people do not understand. And yet God had prepared them from the beginning. So when he's 12 years old, they find him. Where? They find him learning in the temple. Here's what is so sad. 12 years of age, about the time when young ladies and fellows start reaching maturity. And here is what I find in the assemblies and among people most of the time, that you can get your children to come to Sunday school and church and to observe religious customs until they reach puberty. And then they forsake God. And then it is drudgery to make them come. And here is the Lord Jesus when he's 12 years of age and his heart is consumed. How lovely are thy dwellings, O Lord of hosts. My heart longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul cry out for the living God. You understand? A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And to drag you. Now, you all won't be here tonight. You won't be here at all the meetings. You will forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And yet, here is this 12-year-old boy, and he's been at this religious observance for over a week, and he hasn't had enough. He still stays behind. He hungers and thirsts after the knowledge of the Word of God. And so his parents have to take him back home. Would God send such a blessing upon your children today that they love the Scripture so much that they were neglecting the duties that you want them to fulfill because they want to study the Word of God. If it were genuine, forego the dishes, forego doing the lawn. Let them study God's Word. But I assure you that many times they will have and observe religious things that they might get away and meet other people, not because they love the Word or they study the Word. But notice, when Jesus is found the second time, when he's 12 years old, he is learning, he is studying the Scriptures. Oh, how he delights in the Word of God. So, if Christ was willing to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, then let us accept our lot in life as God would have it to be and not complain. And if the Lord Jesus himself, who is the incarnate Word, was so enthralled with the Word and loved it, it thrilled his life, then let it be the delight of our lives. Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I've esteemed thy words more than my necessary food. And this is how it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be found studying the word of God as young people and not as old people. I rejoice in this. I was saved when I was 19. God give me the first 19 years, but they're gone. But at least the first 19 years that were spent without God, in my teens, I trusted him as Savior, and he became my God and my Father, and the Lord Jesus became my Savior, and I've tried to make up for it since then. But some, in your youth, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and let your parents find you hungry and thirsting after a knowledge of the Word of God. All right, this. The third place that he was found was in his own abode. I want to tell you about this word. They translate it different ways. It's the simple word meno, the verb mane, or an abiding place. And in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. This is the word mane. My Father and I shall come and make our abode with him. It's the same word. And so when they say, where do you abide? It's the same word. Where is your mansion? But that conveys a false thought. Where is your mansion? I assure you that it was some humble, unimpressive dwelling place. And yet think that the Lord Jesus, when he was a man on earth, had to find living quarters. Remember, he had not where to lay his head later in life, but if he did, he had to have arrangements made, just as when he ate Passover. He said, now you go and do this and that and arrange for the Passover. All of those things had to be done by Christ. Here is our Savior, and he had to find a place to live. And I have been speaking on this in past weeks, and it's thrilling. It says, no man hath beheld God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. So here is the Lord Jesus in his abode in heaven. What is your abode in heaven? The Word was with God and the Word was God. Where is your abode in heaven? The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. And the Word became flesh. And where is he found? He's found in a manger. He's found upon his mother's breast. And then when he's 30 years of age, he who inhabited the ivory palaces, all the glories of heaven, he's found in an obscure house that he has to show people where he lives, and he invites guests into his home. Now, that's why you have to seek the Lord. Here are Andrew, and I take it to be John, the beloved apostle, and they feel their way along and they say, Rabbi, where do you live? Because there are some things that cannot be settled in a moment of time. There are some people who, as the Philippian jailer, can believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. There are others who need a day to talk things over, and others longer than that. But they say, where do you abide? Where is your mansion? And the Lord Jesus said, come and see. Remember, John the Baptist had said, behold the Lamb of God. And so they say, well, we're going to see. And the Lord Jesus invites them to his home. He asks an invitation to your home. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come into your home. But here is what is most important. He invites you into his home, and he personally allows himself to be examined. He said, you come, and you shall see. And they go, and they stay with him that day. And John never forgot. He said, it was about 10 o'clock. It was about the 10th hour. And I went and I stayed with him that day. And having stayed with him that day, Andrew and I went forth and we told everybody, we have found the Messiah. That's all it takes. I'm not worried about any man going to hell because he did not have a chance to be saved. The only reason men go to hell is that they reject their chance to be saved. And the Lord Jesus says, you come and see. And they have this opportunity to put to the test all his claims, his person. And when they listen to him for that day, they go out and they say, we have found the Messiah. Now tell me this. Have you found the Messiah? Tell me the truth now. Have you? If not, how sad that God's Son comes into the world as the Messiah, the Anointed One, to say, sinners, he's seeking you this day. And now he says, you come home and see if all that is said about me is not true. Jesus invites you to his house this day. Go and stay with him, and then go forth saying, I have found the Messiah. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way you allowed him to be found. Let us know how we would prepare ourselves and put on our best, and yet thy Son allows men to find him as he is, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, helpless, dependent upon his mother, he who upholds all things by the word of his power. Allows them to find him in the temple with the doctors, hearing them as well as later on teaching them all things. And they allow him to come and visit a home, he whose habitation was heaven, whose abiding place was the bosom of the Father, has a dwelling on earth and allows men to come and examine him in his home. We are thankful, Father, that he has made this promise. If any man willeth to do God's will, he shall know. And so this morning, our Father, let us seek the Messiah, and let us go from this place saying, I have found the Messiah. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.